Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. World Series starts tonight. We never get a chance to talk baseball much outside of the local college and high school stuff in the spring and summer. But baseball, World Series, that's a lot of fun, whether you're a baseball fan that follows a team or follows the sport very closely or not. The World Series is always a fun time to get involved, and again, it's a great sports time. It kind of serves as a place filler, in a way, to the start of the college basketball season. Of course, football rolling, basketball just around the corner. Look forward to the start of the World Series tonight. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville today. In our headlines, we'll talk about the Associated Press poll for college basketball is out. We'll talk about open practices. An open practice, I should say, has been scheduled next week for IU students by Archie Miller and his staff, which will be neat for those guys to get an early look at the Hoosiers heading into the exhibition game against Southern Indiana. Also, some coaches on the hot seat, a number of Big Ten coaches, three on the hot seat, according to Jeff Goodman, as this college basketball season gets ready to tip off. We'll talk about that. Steve Alford is also one of the names on Jeff Goodman's list of college basketball coaches on the hot seat. And a couple other things. We want to recognize some of our volleyball teams. Chad Gilbert and I spoke about it yesterday in his interview as well, but we'll let you know who did well and who plays who coming up this weekend. Just a one-game semi-state before some of our local teams likely will have a chance to play for a state championship coming up next week. That's the headlines coming up here in just a moment. Segment two, we'll be joined by Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg's segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. A lot to get to with Greg. We're going to talk some Rondale Moore and Purdue football, so bear with me for a second, IU football fans. We'll also talk a little bit about Tyler Trent, who Greg has kind of introduced, at least to me and some others I know that listen to this show, with their friendship and some background information and going a little bit more in depth than some of what he's written about with Tyler. And of course, Tyler's become almost a kind of a national type person now. He was on College Game Day over the weekend, and then with Purdue getting the big win over Ohio State, there's a really cool video of Jeff Brohm letting him speak in the locker room, and I know Greg wants to talk a little bit about that. And of course, as we get closer to IU basketball, we'll get Greg's thoughts on things from that perspective as well, all presented by Coffee Crossing. Later in the show on this Tuesday program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. I know a lot of people want recruiting updates on some of these big-name recruits that Indiana is dealing with in the 2019 class. None more important than Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. We'll talk with him about that, some other basketball recruiting items, and just basketball stuff in general as well when Mike is with us. That's the guest lineup. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Headline number one is the Associated Press college basketball poll. Top 25 out yesterday for the 18-19 season, and Indiana actually getting a decent number of votes. They're not in the top 25 to start, but if you count out 26, 27, 28, based on other teams receiving votes in the poll, that is where the Hoosiers will be. So they got a lot of votes, enough to show up in the third most team receiving votes outside of the top 25. So Indiana getting some votes. They had one vote for the number 16 spot. They had one vote for the number 17 spot as well. Those were the two highest opportunities, or the two highest votes, I should say, that Indiana had. They had a total of 98 votes when everything was said and done for the preseason Associated Press poll. Headline two is open practices for IU students, an open practice scheduled for Tuesday, October 30th at Assembly Hall, 5 p.m. You got to have your student ID. So any listeners that think that they look young enough to fit the bill of a college student, you got to have your ID to get in. So probably won't be able to steal a early look at the Hoosiers in practice because of that, but still a neat opportunity for the students. They have to have their university ID after the game, or after the practice, I should say, is completed. There will be free pizza for students in the South Lobby. And I mention this because, you know, students attendance has been kind of a talking point. In fact, in this release that IU put out yesterday announcing this open practice for students, they claim, or they write, that IU has the largest student section in the country with 7,800 seats dedicated to those attending the university. For the big games, like Duke last year and some of the others, it's a great student section. It's basically full. It is full. It's loud. It adds to a great historical environment that is Assembly Hall. But for other games, especially over the break when kids are gone, and that is somewhat understandable when the holiday break, the Christmas break is in the middle of things, and you've got kids going home for family get-togethers and just a break from school, that's a good thing. But there have been some games where, to be quite honest, there's not near 7,800 students in the student section, and there's a lot of other fans, especially as you can imagine, with the uptick in excitement for the upcoming season and with Romeo Langford expected to be there for 1 year, that those fans would love to get their hands on tickets that aren't used by students. So that's kind of been a little bit of a contentious issue. We'll see maybe if having a practice early on helps, and maybe just generally whether they had a practice or not, the excitement around Romeo and the team this season would bring out a much more improved student section. But that will be one of the things as far as an environment that Assembly Hall has, with all the improvements and with the reputation that IU fans and IU facilities have. That's one of the things that there's some area for improvement. It'll be curious to see if some of the uptick in excitement, Romeo, Jawan Morgan back, some of the exciting things about this team help fill that student section. But an open practice, an opportunity to get some free pizza as well coming up next week for the students. Jeff Goodman had a great piece for Stadium, the new outlet that he works with, or works for, I should say, about coaches on the hot seat. It's kind of an interesting topic with the season getting ready to tip off, a real chance to kind of look at who maybe is going to count on this season for their job, not just wanting to have success, but needing success to maintain their job. Three Big Ten coaches, he writes, are on the hot seat. Richard Pitino at Minnesota, I don't think there should be any big surprise about that. His overall record is 90-78 in five seasons at Minnesota. He signed a one-year extension in 17 that will take him through 2022. Really an up-and-down career so far for Pitino. First season, he won the NIT and then has struggled since then. They did make it to the tournament a few years ago, but and of course, last year had some really big expectations. They had some off-the-court trouble as well. But Richard Pitino, one of the Big Ten coaches that you could list on the hot seat, as Jeff Goodman has. Tim Miles of Nebraska, he got a one-year extension that takes him through 2021 at the end of last season. A lot of people thought he may be done at the end of last season. They give him one more chance. He's recruiting very hard. We mentioned Nebraska yesterday getting involved with a lot of young players, trying to beat out Indiana, Purdue, and others in the Midwest early, get some relationships, and that did pay off as they got a commitment from DeAndre Davis over the weekend. And speaking of Nebraska, their football team I saw is 0-6, but the crowd, someone had a video, it may have even been the school, still sold out, still a huge game day atmosphere at Nebraska for their football program, even when the team is not doing that well. It doesn't have a lot to do with Coach Miles and his future at Nebraska, but when you look at a young player like the Davis kid out of Indianapolis committing to Nebraska early, and he's there for the football game, you see that type of environment, even though the team hadn't won a game, that's pretty impressive and something that IU football fans should note. Probably another conversation for another segment of the show. But moving on, as far as coaches on the hot seat, Mark Turgeon of Maryland, he is also on the hot seat. 157-81 is his record in seven seasons at Maryland. Pretty decent expectations for that program year in and year out. But he's obviously a name that maybe I would, out of those three, I would put probably third as far as his job truly being on the hot seat in the Big Ten Conference, but one to watch for sure. And one other name, Steve Alford, Indiana guy, UCLA coach. He's 117-57 in five seasons at UCLA. Signed a one-year extension in 2017 through 2000 that takes him through 2021. Of course, UCLA is a program that always has big expectations. Some will tell you that Steve Alford needs a big season, not just a successful regular season or to make the NCAA tournament, but, you know, maybe a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight type season to solidify his future, at least for a number of future years in UCLA. So another name on Jeff Goodman's list of coaches on the hot seat is Steve Alford. I thought this was interesting, the next headline, primarily because he kind of have a connection. A lot of people saw him play as a high school player and because he's made some storylines with his path to the NBA. Darius Bazley came out of Cincinnati, Princeton High School. They played, Princeton did, at New Albany on ESPNU back in the high school season a year ago. He's made some waves since he graduated high school because instead of going on to Syracuse to play college basketball for maybe a season, and then he's kind of like Romeo, projected to be a lottery pick, he decided to not go to Syracuse. At first, he was going to go to the G League and was going to get drafted and play with a team for 1 year, and then he would enter the NBA draft with no affiliation to any G League or NBA team. Now he said he's going to work out for the year. He's not going to go through the G League process, too many risks with that, and just going to train, I think, in Los Angeles for the year and get ready for the draft, which is an unusual path to the NBA draft. There's no film. There's no competitions. It's all, you know, workouts, individual instruction, things like that for him this season, which is, again, very, very different as far as what scouts are used to having access to, being able to go to college games, being able to get film. There will be nothing like that on Darius Bazley this year. Despite all that, he still is projected to be a lottery pick. And also, he signed recently an endorsement deal with New Balance, which is worth $14 million and a guaranteed $1 million. That is amazing for a player that for one full year, one full basketball season, will not be playing high school, will not be playing college, will not be playing in the G League, will not be playing basketball overseas for a year. That's also an option for players at this point, or at least at this time, but will be training in Los Angeles for a year to get that kind of money. And again, it's not a Nike or an Adidas situation, but we're seeing more and more Puma, now New Balance, others getting back in or getting in the NBA shoe market. But Darius Bazley getting a guaranteed million, contract worth $14 million total to sign a deal with New Balance, again, as he prepares for the NBA draft basically in June, between now and June, straight training for him. Also, we mentioned this yesterday on the show, but I know that a lot of people are very proud of some local volleyball programs, and it's a sport that has become more mainstream in the area. It's a sport that I think Southern Indiana now across the state has a great reputation as being a volleyball area. In fact, in the fall, with high school sports beginning to wrap up or beginning to enter state tournaments, some tournaments are over with, some just beginning, like football. It's a sport where we've had a lot of success, where a lot of teams locally have been able, even though football teams may not make it very far, I don't think we've had a team go to the semi-state now for a number of years in football. We've had volleyball teams do very well each and every year. In fact, we have three schools from Clark and Floyd counties that will play in one game semi-states on Saturday. If they can win on Saturday, just one match, They will move on to the state finals the following Saturday. In Class 2A, Christian Academy will take on Heritage Christian at 1 o'clock at Columbus East. Again, if Christian Academy wins that, they will move on to the state final in 2A. Keep in mind, Christian Academy is a 1A school, but due to all their success in volleyball in recent seasons, they bump up a class. Also at Columbus East, after that game, about 3 o'clock is expected beginning of that match. Providence will take on Avon. Should be a terrific match. So Christian Academy and Providence back-to-back playing at the same semi-state location, both trying to get back to the volleyball state championships in their respective class. Keep in mind, Providence is a 2A team. They're playing due to their success and their success formula that the IHSA has in 4A and a one-game semi-state on Saturday. Also at Jasper, there will be two semi-state matchups there. One will include a local school, Silver Creek. They win another volleyball regional. They take on Northview. That match is expected to start around 6 o'clock on Saturday evening down in Jasper. So Christian Academy, Providence, 2A, 4A, and then, of course, Silver Creek in 3A competing for the opportunity to move on to the state volleyball championship. One-game semi-state this Saturday, one-game state final if they can make it the next Saturday. Good luck to all of those teams. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Greg Doyle is next of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Stay with us for a chat with Greg right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here on a Tuesday edition of the program, that means we have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star columnist presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg, great to have you back with us. We've had some fantastic conversations the last few weeks, not just about sports, but about some other items that are probably much more important than sports, but I guess do tie back to some of our local colleges and local sports teams. And I actually want to start there with you again. You know, I'm sure a lot of IU fans hate to see the success of Jeff Brohm and the Purdue Boilermakers, but you told us that that Jeff Brohm would be this kind of coach and do these kind of things at Purdue, and we saw maybe the crowning moment, I guess, so far for him at Purdue on Saturday when his team not only beat Ohio State, but beat them in a bad way. After the game, and of course Rondale Moore, a local story I want to talk about as well, but after the game, seeing that clip of Tyler Trent in the locker room with the Purdue team, with Coach Brohm celebrating with his team, giving Tyler an opportunity to make a comment to the team with media there and families there and coaches there and, of course, the players with their support. I felt like I knew a lot more about what was going on, not only from reading your stories, your columns, but from also hearing what you had to say about what an amazing young man Tyler Trent, who is battling cancer, is. Just much more of a connection to it, and I thank you for that.
Yeah, it's that night, that game was magic is probably the best A word to describe it. I mean, everything that could possibly go right for Purdue did, and for Tyler, too. I mean, that's one of those nights that, and there's not many of them. We don't get many of them, but when we get it and you kind of know you're watching it, you have to appreciate it. We're going to be talking about that. They're going to be talking about that night for years. I mean, years and years and years. They're going to remember for every reason. They beat Ohio State, beat the crap out of them, national TV. Tyler was there. I mean, just it was a single night of perfection is what it was, and for a kid that deserves that at the very least. But yeah, Brohm's, I mean, when he got hired, I think everybody sort of knew that Purdue, they really outkicked their coverage on this one. I mean, Purdue football is not known for, you know, they don't go hire great coaches. Although Joe Taylor was pretty good, but still, you don't think that we made a home run hire. They made a home run hire. We all knew it. Everybody knew it. And last year kind of proved it. And what was weird was the 0-3 start this year. You know, an opener can – you can explain away the opener. You lose a good Northwestern team. The next game was in the rain, the slop, and then the third game they almost beat Missouri. But they're 0-3 with three losses by a combined about 8 points. But they haven't lost since, and they're getting better, obviously, by the week. And Jeff Brohm's going to have a lot of offers again after this offseason. People are going to come after him, and Purdue fans are kind of hoping he doesn't get money whipped out of there. It's going to be hard to avoid that happening. But at the moment, let's enjoy where he is.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest presented by Coffee Crossing. How about Rondale Moore, a New Albany kid, played his final 2 years of football at Trinity. He had some amazing performances so far this season, but his performance Saturday night against Ohio State on more of a national level, I think, has solidified him as one of the best freshmen, some might argue the best in college football right now. He has an unbelievable future at Purdue.
Yeah, he's on that short list of the most exciting players in the country, and it's hard for a guy, it almost never happens, a guy that plays his position to get into Heisman consideration, and I'm not talking about this year, but he's that good. You know what I mean? He's that good. We've seen it. He has one moment every 6 weeks where he's that good. No, he's that good every game, and it's ridiculous what he does. And he's Heisman good someday. I don't mean he's going to win the dang thing, but I mean he's good enough that someday he's maybe even next year, we'll see, but there will, before his junior season, I'm sure at the latest, he will be on preseason Heisman lists. And at that point, you know, you got to win a lot of games because the Heisman's really a team award nowadays. It's the best player on the best team. But he's gonna be on that list. He's that good. But watching the game Saturday night in the press box, and as the blowout is happening, and I'm typing my Tyler Trent story and about the Purdue game itself, and the fourth quarter when Purdue's pulling away, I really can't watch every play. I mean, you can't. I guess you have to have the job I have to understand it, but you can't write 1,000 words in an hour and watch every single play. You just can't. You can't do both. And I'm only getting paid to do one of them, so I'm writing. And so Rondale scored on his final touchdown, I think it was, and I didn't even see it. Obviously somebody went a long way to score, and I remember just kind of hollering out loud to the press box about the event. I said, "What are we watching?" Just kind of, you know, kind of glowing in the moment, like, "Oh my gosh, what are we watching here?" And some voice, I don't know who it was, some voice around the press box calls out a video game. And at that moment, I realized, oh, Rondale Moore just scored. Oh, that was a Rondale Moore play. Okay, a video game, because that's what he is.
Craig Doyle, the Indianapolis Star. You and I have mentioned this, and I think you brought it up when Rondale had the big performance in Purdue's opener, even though it was a loss for the team. Hard to believe that him and Romeo Langford came all the way up through elementary, middle school together, played basketball together. Rondale, I was watching a clip of an interview. I think it was on the Big Ten Network. I can't remember for sure. But he was talking about that football or basketball was his initial choice, and then he realized that if he wanted to have an opportunity to play professionally one day, that, you know, at his height, he's not going to be a pro basketball player. But he did play on the state championship team as well with Romeo as a sophomore. Got ample playing time. And would have went on, I'm sure, to have an unbelievable basketball career as well. He chose the football path. He went to Trinity, which is a football power in Kentucky and in the Midwest, and the rest is history, even though he initially committed to Texas and then ended up adjusting that commitment when Jeff Brohm, shortly after Jeff Brohm was at Purdue, which obviously was just such a huge commitment for Coach Brohm's program at Purdue. But it's hard to believe that those two guys from the same community attended the same middle school and the same high school together for 2 years of their four for high school sports. But just amazing, those two athletes, those two, just they're just special in how they move. And Romeo in basketball, Rondale in football, and it's crazy to think they went to school together from the same place.
Yeah, most communities, you're not going to get one of those. Those guys are... I mean, that doesn't happen. You know, I mean, I've lived in a lot of towns in my life as a kid. My dad moved around a lot. I followed him around a lot. And I lived in a lot of towns, and none of them had one of those guys because those guys don't exist except for very few places. And so, yeah, for New Albany to have two of them, crazy. And the thing about Rondell and playing football, and I'm so glad he made that choice just for my sake to watch what I'm watching, but you wonder, and I never saw him in basketball, so Lord knows I'm not scouting him. I'm not making this comparison in any way other than their body types. Because you're right, when you're built like he's built and you're a pro athlete at something, you kind of have to choose, well, which one am I going to be a pro athlete at? And it's like Nate Robinson back in the day was a great, great high school football player, too. I mean, he was a cornerback, I believe, just a great player. And Sharon Collins, I don't know if you remember him at Kansas. I remember writing about him when he was – he's a high school kid from Chicago. And Sharon Collins, like, you know, 6 foot, 200, and maybe 5'10", 200. And, I mean, the kind of guy that when he got the ball in his hands in a football game, he scored. He just – you couldn't stop him. So when you're a great athlete on the court or wherever you are, you're a great athlete. So – but I'm glad – but both those guys chose basketball. And Nate Robinson, it turned out okay. Sharon Collins, not so much. Rondell made the right choice. I mean, if you're going to make a lot of money in pro sports with your build and your athletic ability, football's the one to go.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Let's tie this Purdue and Rondell talk back to IU football as well. They come off of a bad performance, we'll call it, against Iowa, and are very competitive with Penn State at home, which surprised some people, including me, to be quite honest with you. Now they play at Minnesota on Friday. Following that, after a bye week, they'll play Maryland, Michigan, and Purdue. And, of course, Purdue, at one point, I think that appeared to be, you would think, it with an 0-3 start, a potential winnable game or maybe a game that Indiana would even be favored at early in the season. Obviously, with Purdue's late resurgence here, the win against Ohio State in the fashion that they did, not so sure about that game anymore. Indiana's 4-4, trying to get to six wins. If Indiana can't get to six before Michigan and even Purdue, that could be a scary movie in those final couple weeks.
Yeah, and as you said, it's hard to imagine them winning either of those games right now. I find it interesting, the reaction to the Penn State game. IU fans, and I guess just, you know, cynical, which is pretty much everybody, sports fans around the state, use that game just to mock IU. There it is again, you know, because, and it did kind of happen in a weird way. Late in the game, they're up, and then Penn State has a great kickoff return, and there it is. Penn State, yeah, they lost last week, but they were a top 10 team, and they're a top 20 team. I mean, legit top 20 team, and probably top 10. Just when you lose, you drop way out, and eventually you find your way back to the top. But to almost beat a really good team, it's just ironic. I don't know, ironic's the wrong word, but odd that everybody is just so down on IU football, because how dare you lose by five or whatever the final score was to a great team? How dare you do that? But I guess that's your lot in life when you are that close a lot and everybody's waiting for that one breakthrough. And your coach, I think it was last year, Tom Allen, that was their word was breakthrough, I think. And this year the word is finished and they haven't done either one yet. But sometimes you say things like that, like breakthrough and finish, and people use those words against you when it doesn't happen. And I'm not sure that's fair, but that's the way it goes. And in fact, I think, as I say that out loud, that if you Googled my name and Tom Allen and breakthrough, I might have written an entire column using that word against him. I hope not, but I think I'm remembering I did that once from a game. But I think I did that from the Ohio State game last year. As I recall, you know, that season opener, Ohio State's coming to your building, they're top five. The expectations, the excitement around Bloomington was palpable, and they got crushed. And so I think that's what I did. But anyway, it's just, again, ironic that they didn't lose at home to Rutgers. You know, they lost home to Penn State. But there's no moral victories. I'm not saying let's celebrate IU for that, but I'm not sure we should be taunting them either.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, we began with a feel-good story, kind of getting an update and mentioning Tyler, and I want to close with another great column. And I did not see this one until just a little bit ago, but you were up early. I think it was it yesterday?
Yesterday, yes.
For a really special trip with the Butler Bulldog mascot, and I don't mean, you know, like the pretend mascot. I mean the real bulldog for a very special delivery in northern Indianapolis.
Yeah, what Butler does with about 100 kids a year, because they get, you know, college applicants, and about 100 kids a year, just works out the timing, the everything. They actually deliver the news to that kid, not with an envelope or an email, but Blue, the dog, they call him Trip, shows up on your front porch with his handler, knocking on the door, and the handler says, because, you know, Blue the dog, as great as he is, he can't talk, so the handler says, congratulations, you've been admitted to Purdue. I'm sorry, to Butler. And they've done the numbers, and if you get a visit from Blue saying, hey, you're in, that kid is three times more likely to say yes to Butler than if he just got a letter in the mail or if she got a letter in the mail confirming it. So one of those was happening yesterday, and it's a girl that I met at an IU game, of all things. I met her 3 years earlier. Tatum Parker is her name. She's beaten cancer twice, and she's become this fundraising force of nature, just doing great stuff for kids who have cancer. Anyway, she's at an IU game, and I got word that she was there, and we took a selfie, and it's on Twitter from 3 years ago, and I'm very excited about that because she was the one yesterday. Butler Blue shows up on her front porch knocking on the door, and yeah, we met at a Dunkin' Donuts on the north side of Indy at 6 a.m., and I live on the south side, so I'm up early, but it was worth it to be there when she found out. She didn't know. I mean, her parents knew, but she didn't know what was happening, and that's, to write about Tyler Trent on Saturday and then to write about her yesterday, here I go again. You know, I spoke at the Indiana High School Press Association 4 or 5 days ago at Franklin College. High school kids around the state, the most ambitious young news, you know, media writers, whatever, they come and I get to speak to them every year. And when I spoke to them, I said to them, I held up three fingers and said, "This is the over under on the number of times I'm going to cry here." And then, sure enough, as it happened, I'd start telling a story and put up a finger because here it comes, and I'd start telling a story, put up another finger because here comes number two, and yeah, I got the three, but if you took the over, you lost because I hit three and it stayed there. But it's hard to sit there in a press box with Tyler Trent and know that this is maybe the last gray moment of your life, and it's hard, and then to be there in Tatum's living room watching this kid who nearly died 10 years ago and 10 years ago, and here she is going to Butler, and she, her whole life's out in front of her, and Tyler's is not, and it's beautiful for Tatum, it's beautiful, but the whole thing, it's hard to it's just hard to watch Tyler. I'm sorry, it's just hard.
Yep, I understand. Greg, your work is amazing, whether it's sports or these unbelievable stories that you tell along the way. We're very appreciative not only to read them but to get your insight here on Tuesdays, and very appreciative, Greg.
I got one more story, by the way, to write about Rondell Moore soon. I haven't done it yet, but I just need to do it, and I'm going to hold up zero fingers because nobody's crying when I write that one because that's going to be all good. I promise you that one.
Oh, I've got to correct myself, too. I got a text message from someone that said, Rondell went to Hazelwood Middle School. Romeo went to Scribner Middle School, but they did play on the same New Albany feeder team or whatever. So technically they didn't go to school together, but obviously they were New Albany until they got to New Albany High School. But obviously they were New Albany Middle School basketball players or whatever.
New Albany can claim them and should claim them both proudly.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much. Talk again next Tuesday, my friend.
All right, bye.
Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. When you are looking for great coffee, downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread, and great pastries. Now serving breakfast and lunch, 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Coming up next, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com will join us. We'll talk some IU basketball recruiting. We'll get the latest with Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis. Also, IU had a younger visitor over the weekend that's very interesting as well, getting an early jump with some young talent from the St. Louis area, actually. We'll talk about that. We'll jump into some things with this year's team as well. All coming up in the next segment. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here on this Tuesday edition of the program, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com is with us. Mike, I want to start with some recruiting stuff, get into some stuff with this year's team as well as we talk basketball in this segment. Keon Brooks was at Kentucky over the weekend for an official visit. He has two official visits remaining. Trace Jackson Davis, he's got his officials done. He's in the decision-making process, we think. We don't know if that could happen before the season, early in the season, or maybe he'll watch how things unfold and how some of the coaches and programs he's considering do and how they interact with players, as he said before, important to him to watch here over the next few months. That said, your thoughts on Keon Brooks now that an official visit to Kentucky is in the book with two left. Obviously, Indiana fans, I'm sure, a little uptight whenever a top prospect from the state is down in Lexington. But Keon Brooks still a ways away, it looks like, from a college decision.
Yeah, two more officials to visit on the calendar out of the five that he has on the agenda. And, you know, I think that nothing major came out of that Kentucky visit. We've kind of thrown them out as a wild card throughout this recruitment. And anytime you have Kentucky involved, they can really promote the one and done, and that's what they did with him. But he made some comments to us about distance from home and the fact that maybe this wasn't a move the needle kind of visit for a Wildcat. So we'll see. They already have a player recruited at his position. Khalil Whitney, a very dynamic, explosive, small forward, big guard. So that could factor into how attractive Kentucky looks to him. But, you know how John Calipari is about convincing kids at the same position to go there because of the preparation for the NBA. But two more visits. I think he's got enough time. He possibly could sign in November. But he only have a few days after his final visit, I think, Michigan State, to work that decision in. So, we don't know whether he's going to make a spring decision or sneak it in next month.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Speaking of recruiting, Indiana had another very interesting visitor on campus over the weekend for an unofficial visit, Caleb Love. He is from the St. Louis area, played with the Bradley Beal program in the EYBL, getting very high marks as a 2020 player, a current junior for the upcoming high school basketball season. I think he's generally considered somewhere around a top 40 guy in the country, and Indiana has made multiple trips to see him. He has now been to see IU and the campus, and that's a good sign early when you look at 2020 guys to pay attention to and to watch how their recruiting unfolds for the number of trips that Indiana has made to watch and visit him. And now that he's been on campus at such a young point of his early point, we'll say, of his recruiting, he's definitely a name to watch in this recruiting thing for the 2020 class.
Yeah, he's the number one guy in our 2020 hot board. It's not a great in-state class. And St. Louis is not very far from Bloomington, so it's not a bad drive for him, and that enables Indiana to bring him back probably multiple times over the rest of his recruitment. And the fact that they got him in this early, he's just a perfect fit, a big point, at least a 6'3"-ish point guard, I think, who could play with Robert Fennessy and some of the other guys that they may recruit with him. He's just an ideal, fit. And also, I like what you have to like about him. He's kind of a top 40, 50, but not a top 25, top 20, maybe possible one-and-done type prospect. I mean, I was just talking to somebody the other day about how Villanova has kind of perfected this four-star level of kid, and they developed some of them into better players, and some of those five-stars were ever developed into. And that's really kind of a sweet spot in recruiting. And Caleb Love really fits that, and he helps maybe Indiana overcome what is a down year in the state in that class.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us talking IU basketball recruiting. Let's go back to the 2020 class, talking about Caleb Love from St. Louis. I know it's a new name as far as being mentioned here on this program. Refresh us in-state, 2020 guys that Indiana is either interested in or could become more serious with as things unfold. We've discussed before, it's not the strongest of classes. It's not the type of heavy top-loaded classes we're used to from the Hoosier State, at least in recent years. But there are some players of interest to consider.
Yeah, there's some nice two guards, including one right in Bloomington, Anthony Leal from Bloomington South. Indiana might like, other schools really like Jaden Ivory from Mishawaka in the South Bend area. He just picked up a Notre Dame offer. You know, obviously that would be close to home. Tremendous shooter, and he might be the highest recruited player now from that class. An interesting note there is there was a 6'6 kid that Indiana had begun to show interest in, DeAndre Davis from Lawrence Central. He surprised some of us and committed to Nebraska in the last week. He's a player that a lot of us thought we're talking about in July is maybe the kind of Armand Franklin situation where he turned himself into a high major player because he was improving quickly and growing with the Indianapolis competition was beginning to really look like a good player. But Michael Lewis has been on him forever. He's been working the state of Indiana hard, and he surprised and got the commitment. And, you know, Nebraska presents playing opportunity for someone like DeAndre Davis. So maybe that's the best kind of move for him, but it's not a great class. Just put some good two guards in there. And DeAndre Davis is a very, headed to the Big Ten now, is a 6'6 small forwardish type player, but doesn't present any size of note that we know about. Doesn't present a pure point guard or anything super helpful for an Indiana level team right now.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us, IU basketball recruiting the discussion. I do want to get into some stuff for the upcoming season. Associated Press poll, the preseason poll out for the first time this year yesterday. I thought Indiana got a number of votes. They were just outside of the top 25. I think they were the third team receiving votes outside of the top 25. Pretty fair, spot for the Hoosiers. They had some votes. I got to see the breakdown. I think one or two votes at 16, one or two votes at 17, a number of votes in 20, 21, 22, as far as where people placed them in their respective ballots. But I felt like that, given what Indiana has coming back and some of the excitement around the program, but not completely proven by any means yet, a fair place to start the 18-19 season. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was interesting. Some of the teams right ahead of them. Of course, one was Marquette, the first big league team that they have to play. I think was 27th in votes, and Loyola's right a spot or two ahead of Marquette, and that's who Indiana is playing in a secret scrimmage. Sunday. Closed scrimmage is really the best word for it. But yeah, I think that's about right. I think third or fourth in the Big Ten, I think, is a very realistic expectation for Indiana. Both Michigan teams are deservedly ranked up there. But after that, the Big Ten's pretty wide open, and there's no reason that the Indiana team can't fill that void if a lot of ifs happen for them. But there's a pretty good chance for this team to be on the borderline of the rankings and become an NCAA team, in my opinion.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is my guest. We are closing in 9 days away. The countdown is on to the scrimmage against Southern Indiana. A lot of excitement about that. It's obviously an exhibition game. It's not the start of the regular season. But anybody that knows some of the players or has followed high school basketball in the southern part of the state the last few years knows that Southern Indiana is a legitimate Division II team. Them and Bellarmine should go on to have great seasons in the same conference, and of course a great rivalry between those two schools. That said, I think it'll be a good starting point. I don't want to call it a challenge necessarily by any means for Indiana when the teams meet up in the exhibition on November 1st, but it will be interesting. Southern Indiana will not just be a rollover type team, I don't think, for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, I think it's really good for this team, especially since Chicago State was scheduled as the opener. And if you were to put Chicago State and Southern Indiana were to play, I'd put my money on Southern Indiana. You've seen that over the years. These good teams just below D1 in the Indianapolis down to Louisville area belt, you know, basketball. These are outstanding programs, and you know, UIndy and Bellarmine and Southern Indiana, and we watched how Kentucky Wesleyan work its way up into up the ranks. But it's a good test for them, and they only have one exhibition game, so this is maybe the best opportunity to see what might be ahead before they actually play a team capable of upsetting them.
And Mike, of course, before the exhibition game with the University of Southern Indiana, IU will play a secret scrimmage at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It will be closed. Do you expect that? I've seen other schools, that some of these are happening or have been happening across the country the last week or so. Some schools actually put out a story, you know, a box score, a recap of some sort, some quotes from the coach, even though media cannot attend and fans cannot attend. Do you expect that we'll learn anything from that game? Will we get any information, box score from that game, or do you think it'll be a secret all the way around, not only the event itself, but afterwards, not a lot of information put out?
I think there'll be some information, but I'm not at liberty to say how much, or actually know how much of it, but I do think that the environment on those close scrimmages has changed a little bit, a little bit more openness on what happened is out there, or there's a little less fear of not getting out. And some other schools have kind of set the precedent for Indiana, having played earlier secret scrimmages. So I do expect that we will hear some things. It depends a little bit how those two teams decide to go after the scrimmage, because sometimes you could play, you know, two different halves and restart the clock or restart the score, stop play, but a lot of schools do play a pretty regular contest. And like you said, issue at least some of the who are the leading scorers and what the final score was and so forth. So I talked to several Big Ten coaches about secret scrimmages in Chicago, and I have a story I'm going to work on, maybe put out tomorrow. And I was surprised how open they were about who they're going to play and why they play this team, and how their ADs over the time have allowed them to sacrifice an exhibition game and the money involved with that to let them play somebody that really gives them a lesson in what they need to work on.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that point, but for a program like Indiana, or really for most programs that are going to get a good turnout for an exhibition game, even though it may not be against a top-tier opponent, there is a financial aspect of that involved, especially at a place like Assembly Hall. When they open the doors at Assembly Hall for a men's basketball event, whether it's Hoosier Hysteria, whether it's a scrimmage, whether it's an exhibition game, whether it's an inter-squad game, no matter what it is, it's going to draw a great number of fans. Whether it's sold out or not, obviously, is another story, but there's some sacrifice in setting up these secret scrimmages from a financial and a fan standpoint.
It is for Indiana. I'll give you an example, Matt. Penn State, doesn't draw a lot. They don't have a great tradition. Well, they're going to play two scrimmages. They're going to play Temple, and they're going to play, I think, West Virginia. So they're going to completely do away with exhibition games, because once you play a secret scrimmage, it costs you an exhibition game, and you'll add up to two. So, I think that if Indiana had their dress, probably, well, Southern Indiana's pretty good, as we just talked about, but I think a lot of these schools would go ahead with two scrimmages if money wasn't a factor. And I think a lot of them now have compromised with their athletic director or their school and philosophy and said, well, we'll do one scrimmage we'll get the revenue for that, but we'll sacrifice the revenue for the benefit of playing a Division I team in a close scrimmage. So now everybody's pretty much playing one exhibition and one close scrimmage, with the exception of Penn State. They're playing two.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, before I let you go, one football question, comment from you. IU, this is a very important game Friday night at Minnesota as far as getting to that sixth win. This would be win number five if Indiana can pull it off, and I think they will be expected to do so. But that said, it's a Friday night game. Sectional football is underway in the state of Indiana. I mentioned this some yesterday, talking about the football game this coming week. I just hate the Friday. I hate it. I hate to see college football on a Friday. When the Big Ten made the decision to play some games on Friday, I hated it even more. And now that Indiana actually has a Friday game, I just don't like it at all.
Yeah, just Tom Allen. He was very open about that when it was announced. And then this week when he was asked again about it, the Hoosiers are playing finally on Friday. Yeah, it's not good. I mean, we won't be able to go see some games that we cover on Fridays with the IU commits and targets. Yeah, it's, you know, at some point, you know, you wonder about some of these moves, but you know, it is what it is, and they are going to go ahead and play a day early Friday night in Minneapolis. You know, it does help. I think students get to games because students will go to night games more than they are to 12 noon games, and it does get more exposure for the schools instead of playing games simultaneously on Saturday. They spread it out a little bit more. But I'm talking about the league. But yeah, I don't like it. You know, I don't like now having Big Ten basketball games almost every day of the week. You know, you can work around a routine, but when there's no routine, it does make life more difficult. And so anyway, we'll be out there. We're sending somebody to Minneapolis on Friday, and we'll be covering it.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us Tuesdays to talk IU basketball and football. We appreciate it, Mike. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, thanks. Bye.
That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the show. Don't forget, if you miss a show, we also replay it most days at 3 o'clock here on the Big X. And you can find us on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. If you like listening to podcasts on SoundCloud, download the free app or point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Also on Apple Podcast, just search the Hoosier Report. It's an easy way to look us up, and you can listen to the full show. You can listen to a certain segment. Whatever you need, it will be there for you. I'll be back with you Wednesday. Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com is with me, and more coming your way at 11 o'clock tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.